Record. Just gonna make sure this is all working. All right. Okay, very good. Jane, we are recording this very special interview, just you and me, and I'm very grateful for you taking this time, the time that you spent, you know, emailing me, and then the conversation we had the other day, which I'm still reeling from. I actually had a lot of emotions come as you were telling me your story, which is absolutely incredible and crucial and horrifying all at the same time. And so I want more people to hear about it. We're going to do this one off record for now, and I want to pass this along to some trusted people to see what we can do to get some more exposure for your case that you've been fighting for years and years in Canada to try to get some kind of resolution, some justice, and some exposure to what has happened to you. And it was interesting, as we had that conversation, so many other stories flooded my mind of other people that I've spoken to over the years that gave me a very similar account. And one of the things that you had stressed was that, first of all, you're a victim, a lifelong victim of abuse on so many different levels, to put it lightly or put it mildly. And many might look at this in the beginning as just another case of abuse, which is horrifying in itself. But what you brought to light was that your case is unique in that you experienced something a lot more than just some home abuse. You experienced something that is international in scope, that is massive, that implicates high profile individuals in government. And I'll let you break that down, which is something that we in the alternative research community have known about for a long time. And so I would like you to start where you feel is best, to start sharing your story, and I'll let you take it away, and then I'll interject here and there, and I want to get the best possible testimony for you in this recording. So thanks for doing this, and where would you like to begin, Jane?
I guess I could start at the beginning again. So when I was as young as I can remember is when the trafficking and the abuse began in Victoria, BC. There were a lot of agencies that became involved, such as Child Protective Services, and there was a lot of police involvement. I was basically being passed around. I was born into what I refer to as a sex trafficking and international organized crime ring. And so I was being passed around to a number of different individuals. It wasn't long until Child Protective Services and police became involved. They knew about the abuse that was happening in my home. There were numerous visits to the home, and they left me inside the home. And so the abuse didn't stop. As soon as I started, was put into school, it wasn't long before I was a huge red flag for teachers. And I recall nearing the end of, before he fled with us to another province, there was a woman who was coming in, and I believe she was either a police officer or she was with Child Protective Services, and she was pulling me from class quite regularly.
Sorry to jump in, Jane. I just want to clarify this. When you say he moved, you're talking about your father, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was my parents. It started with my parents, and they were involved in a ring, with a ring of individuals. These people are all in positions of leadership or power and authority or trust. And I know that they also travel like within Canada, but also would travel abroad, like say to Mexico, frequenting Mexico. They had some of them had houses in Mexico, where they would go and stay for periods of time. Every kind of abuse that you can think of was happening to me, rape, sexual molestation, physical beatings, verbal, mental, emotional abuse. I had naked pictures taken of me as a child, and there were so many people who were doing these things. And I couldn't understand that obviously back then as a child. Today I look back and I have more clarity now as to what was going on. These people are still active as well. I want to say that as well. They're still active.
There's been no convictions or investigation. I mean, this is where the story is going to get interesting a little bit later, but there that you know of, the
That I
individuals
know of.
responsible have not been arrested or charged with any crimes.
To me, for what they did to me, no, not that I'm
Okay.
aware of, but possibly others. They're because I know they're in the system. I know they're in police systems, databases. Now, wow. Okay, so my abuse began there when I turned, I'd say on or about 12 years old. I think that as a result of heat being on them, my dad fled with us to another province. He pulled us from school and fled with us to another province, which was Ottawa. And the abuse continued there. A lot of people coming into the home, taking me out of the home. I know there was exchange of money. He was provided with cartons of cigarettes or alcohol. I was shown the bank accounts. I was shown the money in Victoria. He would, on occasion, he would show me. He had opened an account in my name. And as I was being passed around within this ring, on occasion, he would show me. He'd say, "Here, look at how much money you have now." And he'd show me the
Jeez.
money increasing in the accounts. And so once he fled with us to Ottawa, the abuse, of course, never stopped. And it wasn't long before Child Protective Services and police are involved again.
Did anybody inform the, like, how did the Child Protective Services find out about your case? Did somebody, like, did a teacher intervene or did anybody intervene?
I believe it was people on the outside, yes. Who were making calls in. I mean, I was, like I said, starting from Victoria, I was a huge red flag. I mean, my medical documentation is just so extensive. I have documentation that starts around the age of 4 years old. And they were sending me, it was Child Protective Services, police, and they were coming into the schools. And that started on or about grade one. So I have the documents from that. And I know that they sent me to a child psychiatrist at one point. Some of the people who were getting involved, like I believe they knew I was being abused because they were pulling me from the classes and they were having like I was having meetings with child psychiatrists. They were having me draw pictures and having me answer all sorts of different types of questions. So I believe those things were being done because they knew. And possibly they saw the physical injuries as well, because there were a number of occasions where I was brought to the emergency room. As a result of the abuse. So my head was split open on one occasion, and she was strangling me afterwards and left her nail marks all throughout my neck. So I know I was bleeding from my neck and also from the top of my head. So it
paused. And when you say she, sorry again, when you say.
My mother. That,
your mother. Oh my God. Okay.
My mother. I don't believe I was the only child who was being abused and victimized within this ring. I don't believe that. I don't have a way to have access to any other victims. I know that these individuals, all the ones who I named to the police, they are in the system. I know that because they told me that. But they wouldn't tell me for what. I'm so nervous right now.
Please don't be. And Jane, look, let's take this step by step. You take your time. I'm here with you. I'm here for you. I'm here for anybody. This is a subject that is very close to my heart, as I know many people who are going to hear this as well. This has to be the most horrifying experience, especially for the duration that you had to experience. One thing that you had mentioned to me in our previous discussion was that it started out for you, as you observing this, almost like I guess you say it was like a gang or a biker gang or a, like, how would you describe how this progressed in terms of you seeing this go from, say, the lower level all the way up to this being a little bit more?
I don't think it ever was lower level. I was born into this ring, and these people who we were told to refer, the friends of the family who we were told to refer to as aunt and uncle, and they were of no relation to us. And so for the longest time, this is what we are referring to these people who are sexually abusing, raping, and molesting me and other children. This is how we're referring to them. And I believe that that's a tactic that is used by these traffickers and these abusers. It's a tactic. It's done for part of the brainwashing of the victims. It's done for control, to keep them silent. It's also done on their part to create this false image to avoid detection. So all of those tactics and those behaviors, they started being used, like, as I was born into this. So from an early age as I can remember, and I have memories, even though they may be fragmented, from as early on as just before the age of 2 years old.
Wow. And memories are quite vivid. Like you said, it's been surprising to you how much recall you actually do have.
Yes. The only thing that has changed in my process of recovery is just the clarity, like the pieces coming together, which is clarity, which takes a long time, because before that, I had all these memories, but things were so, I was shattered to pieces. I was such a broken person, and my life was so shattered, and there was a lot of confusion. And then you're also working through the brainwashing that's been instilled since you're as young as you can remember. So all of those things are the types of things that somebody like myself has to work through. And it's an absolute miracle to me that I am even where I am today and still working through those things. But I think that, unfortunately, up until this point, I believe that a lot of people die, though. They die and they never get to come out into that place of clarity. And they never get that chance to speak and to tell their story. They die in that. And
you have tried this whole time to get this information out to politicians, to legal counsel, to police, to, you know, so many different people, and it's just gone absolutely nowhere for you, right?
Well, for over 13 years, I've been dealing with the Canadian and the United States government agencies, federal government agencies. it started out with me sharing about, you know, starting from the beginning, which was in my childhood, and talking about what happened there. I did not plan, first of all, I had never heard of the term human trafficking. That was something new for me. I have a lot of recall, of course, of the events that happened throughout my life, but I didn't know, I'd never heard that term before. So in 2007 is when the RCMP identified me and my child. First of all, they identified my child's kidnapping, and then through a series of questions that they had asked me, that's when they identified the human trafficking and said, this is a human trafficking international human trafficking investigation. So yeah, before that though, I could tell you about all the abuses that had happened to me.
Yeah, we can get into that. I guess you've brought up a couple things there. One is that this is international trafficking. And so my first question is, this wasn't just something that happened in British Columbia or Ontario. You were moved around in different places. Yes, we could ask that question. And then the second one was, you brought up your son. So if you could provide some clarity on those two points, that would be helpful.
Yeah. He fled with us to Ottawa. The abuse, the trafficking didn't stop. Others were coming into the home. I was being basically handed off to different organized crime groups, such as one was a biker gang. I began running away from home as soon as I was able to. So I was on her boat, maybe 12, 13 years old, I started running.
Wow.
And on the street, I was also snatched up off the street by various groups of individuals.
So it's as if they were tracking you. Even if you would try to run away, they would come and find you.
Absolutely, yeah. I was brought out of province when I was 13 years old to Montreal. By a group of traffickers, and I was passed off or sold to another group in Montreal and left there. And I got out of that situation, but I was just snatched back up as soon as I got back to Ottawa. So it went on and on, and I did. I tried many times to escape from these individuals. Throughout my life, I, since as young as I can remember, I dreamed, I fantasized and dreamed of being able, as soon as I was able, to run, to escape from the situation. And when I was younger, I could not, absolutely could not. So what ended up happening as I started planning, I found out that I could kill myself. A girl who was older than me, by quite a number of years, one day told me about suicide. So it was like the happiest moment of my life when I learned that I could kill myself and that's how I would end it. That's how I would get out. That's how I would get free from that. I was in grade one. So I was planning suicide. That didn't happen because she ended up, when I started asking her details on how to go about that, and I tried to make it sound like I was asking for someone else, that it wasn't me, I think she caught on that it was me that was planning it. And so she told me some horror stories about people who have attempted suicide and failed. She told me a story, I guess, about this one kid who blew half of his face off and survived. And so now I was terrified to even try and kill myself. So my plan for escape was ruined. I was terrified to even try. So I did the majority of my life, I did a lot of running. I ran and I ran and I ran. I ran from various groups. I tried to escape off and on the majority of my life. And yes, there, from my own personal experience, they'll never let you go. They'll always find you. I have had individuals hire private investigators to find me. And because the individuals within this ring, because they are all connected and interconnected throughout the provinces of Canada, into the United States and abroad, these traffickers are. It doesn't matter where you run or where you go. I ran from Ottawa eventually, and immediately upon my arrival, I ran from Ottawa when I was in my teens, and I had contacted a relative for help. And they told me that they would help me, and they told me to come to Vancouver. So I did. My first night that I arrived there, they brought me to a club, which I later found out was a club that is used by the traffickers. It's one of their clubs. That's where they brought me. And it was very dark, and there were only two men standing in a corner in the dark, just staring at me, watching me. And she would bring me out on the dance floor and have me dance around. And then I went to go to the bathroom, and one of the guys grabbed me on my way to the bathroom. These were two traffickers. They're not just sex traffickers, but they're also very tied in with Asian mob and drug trafficking throughout Vancouver, throughout the provinces in Canada and into the US and abroad, trafficking women, trafficking girls, trafficking drugs. So this is where I was brought. So basically I was brought right back in to what I was running to escape from. And this happened time and time and time again. And these individuals were also tied in with the group in Montreal who had beat me and who were trafficking me when I was 13 years old.
That's they were just, tied. Yeah, it's unimaginable to so many people.
This is how connected they are.
Is how connected, yes.
How connected they are.
You mentioned even in the last conversation we had that there were police involved in the ring.
Yes.
There were judges. Like, could you give us what you feel is the level of the people that are involved in this network? Like, you don't have to name any names, but just in general.
Yeah, in my case, there's the involvement of a lot of corrupt government officials, people in positions of leadership, power, authority, and trust, people within the church. Knights of Columbus are some of them, and others, lawyers, doctors, police officers, politicians. There was a diplomat in Ottawa. And other different positions of leadership, authority, and trust. Yes.
And I bring that up just because if I think back to, you know, the work of people like former FBI Director Ted Gunderson, who was exposing this back in the 80s and 90s, and many others, we think about the headlines right now with what's going on with Epstein, this island, the Ghislaine Maxwell, Prince Andrew, some of these people who are coming into even the mainstream media now. There's even documentaries being made about it, you know, and you think of the testimony that has come from so many about these kinds of horrible, horrible things, this underworld, if you will, an underground world that people aren't aware of. I think we're, as a civilization, as a human family, we're getting more information coming out now more than ever about just how pervasive and connected this is. So for you to have direct experience with that is
Yes.
It's incredible, and it's important, and that's why I salute your courage. I can only imagine what it must be like to recall all of this. Was there
Well,
anything more you wanted to say on that before we move on to some of the more specific experiences?
the majority of my experiences involved people in those types of positions. When I was, for example, when I was 13, in Montreal, and I was being brought to hotel rooms by the traffickers, knock on the hotel room door, and a businessman would open the door and they would make their exchange of money. He would pay them and they'd put me inside. And I remember this one in particular, and this guy was, he could have been a lawyer, a doctor, a police officer. He was in a suit, a really nice suit, businessman. Probably had a family, children at home. And I took a chance and I asked him, I begged him to please help me. And this man, as he was forcing himself on top of me, was promising me, I will help you. I will help you. And
Incredible.
he never did. He never did. What he did is, I guess he ended up telling the traffickers about it, that I was opening my mouth, I'm a problem, I'm whatever, and I ended up getting beat for that. So the majority of people who are involved in this ring are people in those types of positions. That was my own personal experience throughout the entirety of my life that this was happening. And I was eventually started being trafficked into the United States as well. And that happened on many different occasions. Same thing there. And the man, the trafficker who kidnapped my child, is an example I can use of. I was trying to get help from the police to report my child missing and to report the crimes that were committed against us. I even had a FB, former FBI agent come in to help me. And he physically went with me to the police station to report my child's kidnapping. He said, "This is a child kidnapping." And then we also reported the crimes to the police, not only the crimes committed against me and my child, but also just the criminal, like drug trafficking, weapons trafficking, things like that. All the crimes that I had knowledge of were reporting that to the police. And after that happened, I recall him saying that they swept everything under the rug. I know that my trafficker was alerted, or they gave him the heads up that I had been there and I was reporting these crimes to the police. He wrote a threatening letter that he knows I'm talking to the police and I'm reporting these crimes to the police. And many years following that, I find official court case documents and newspaper articles that this very officer, who I was giving all this information to, is directly tied in with my trafficker in this ring. There was an indictment for running, operating an international meth and cocaine trafficking ring with ties to cartel.
And you have collected a lot of this information. Did you want to say a little bit about, the kind of evidence and documentation you've personally collected about this over the years?
Yeah, there's a lot within this ring, aside from the lot of people in positions of leadership, power, and authority, police officers, lawyers, doctors, etc. There's also the involvement of a lot of different organized crime gangs or groups, Italian, Israeli, Russian mob. Asian, bike gangs, different bike gangs. And they're involved. They're not just, these people are not just human traffickers. That's another big thing I want to touch on that we touched on last time, is they are not just trafficking women and girls, children. They're not just doing that. They're involved in weapons trafficking and drug trafficking on international scales in support of terrorism. They're involved in many different types of fraud. So there's a lot of fronts that these people use. And we talked about that last time. And I have evidence of all their ties and connections to each other, as well as these businesses, these business fronts. They're involved in stock market. They're involved in timeshare. Timeshares, travel. You want to go and travel to Cuba. You want to rent a condo there, a timeshare. They're tied in with the airlines. They're tied in with notary republics, real estate, everything and anything you can think of. This ring is tied in with.
Wow.
And I have a lot of that kind of evidence. Of these businesses, these fronts, and some of them, well, they are actually, yeah, they're trading stocks. They're however this works, I have no idea, but some of them actually have, like, one of these traffickers for a number of them, sorry, like one of them was a lawyer, a corporate lawyer. So he's involved in oil and gas. And all different types of stock market stuff. He's a trafficker as well. He's a sex trafficker of women and girls.
Is there, this is incredible, and there is a lot of evidence out there about this, so your contribution would be incredible. You also mentioned, if we could talk a little bit about your son, and the fact that this is boys as well. There's sort of maybe a different niche market, right? Like, they've created these markets. This is so horrible to even talk about, but that's how they look at it, right? Did you want to share a little bit about that and about the story of your son? Please don't feel pressure. You whatever you feel comfortable with.
Yeah. well, he was taken from me just before he turned 2 years old.
And how old were you? Sorry, how old were you when you had your son?
I was in my early 20s. Yeah, I was in my early 20s. One second.
No problem.
Thanks. Sorry, Jules just came up.
Oh, not a problem at all. Take your time, Jane. No worries.
Yeah. Well, there were a lot of pregnancies. That happened as a result of the trafficking, first of all. It's not something that, I don't know how well I'm going to do with this one.
No problem. We can, that's good enough for me, honestly. Let's just say this, from what you told me, you had your son. He was taken at two. I just wanted it to come across to the people that are going to watch this, how much a part of this is about him and you connecting with him.
Absolutely.
Have you had any contact with him at all over the years?
I tried when he was kidnapped from me just before he turned 2 years old. I did everything I could. I did more than I was capable of doing to try and find him. To report the crimes committed against us. I was threatened every single time I would call the police to report my son missing. and to ask for help to report crimes. I was threatened. This went on, I'd say, on or about over 10 years of this. And the RCMP, in 2007, first of all, Jules asked me, he convinced me to try one more time to reach out to the police in the United States, the Arizona police, and to report my son missing and to report the crimes committed against us. And I did, and I was threatened again. And I went back to Jules, I was crying, I was upset, it happened again, and I told him. And he said, let me call you back. And so I guess at that point, he took it upon himself and he contacted the RCMP. Now, I didn't know this until after. He called me back sometime later and told me he had reached out to the RCMP and told them about the situation. And the first thing that they identified was my child's kidnapping, like I said, and the second thing was human trafficking, that we had been victims of international human trafficking, and an investigation began. From the start of the investigation, they were making a lot of promises to me, promise of protection and relocation for me to cooperate in their investigation.
This was the RCMP, yes?
Yes, okay. And the return of my child. The return of my child was a big thing. They didn't follow through with any of those promises, but what they did is one of the federal MPs used the terminology. They said, they're dangling in front of you like a carrot. They were using my son and promising to protect and relocate me for my information for many years, just to keep the information coming, to get as much information out of me as they can. And they got quite a bit. I have provided a lot of names and information and evidence, so much to them for over 13 years. And I basically, the time came and went for me to be reunited with my child. They basically left my child in this ring and we were never reunited again. And now he's become a part of that. And as far as protection and relocation, I was never given that either. So I've gone through many years of threats, harassment, intimidation, even some assaults as a result of breaches of my confidentiality and my information that have gotten back to the traffickers. That's happened.
Is that something that goes on to this day?
Yes, it is. And it's happened by more than one officer on more than one occasion, more than one person. Like over the years of being in recovery, like I've gone through a lot of recovery. So I go to a counseling session. I've seen many different counselors over the years. I've also been a part of some groups as a part of my recovery. These traffickers and abusers from my past have even sent people into the groups, the recovery groups that I was a part of, to find out what I'm saying, what I'm talking about, what I'm telling people, so that they can pass it back to them, that information back to them. The man who kidnapped my child, I want to touch on this as well. He's a United States citizen. My FBI contact last summer, when I was asking him the question, is he allowed to cross the border into Canada? Because I was told initially by the RCMP that he's not allowed to cross the border into Canada. But yet he continues to cross the border into Canada. And there was another recent border crossing in 2019. That I had reported. So I went back and I'm asking the question again, is this man allowed to cross the border into Canada? They wouldn't respond to me. They wouldn't answer me. So I asked my FBI contact and he said, let me tell you, he said, he's a United States citizen and a convicted felon. He said, who's not only committing crimes like human trafficking and all these organized crimes against people like myself and others. He said, take it up a step from there. He's also committing crimes against the country. So he told gave me this information, and he also told me that, see, he had always told me over the years that he knew him very well. So last summer, not this past summer, the summer before, I got the courage to actually ask him, what exactly do you mean by that? And that's when he told me that he was one of the lead investigators with the FBI who was investigating him for human trafficking and international organized crimes many years prior to my child and I ever becoming two of his victims. He was under investigation by the FBI. And the RCMP arrested him in Canada on or about 1993 in Vancouver for sex trafficking of children. So all the federal authorities and these federal government agencies had full knowledge of him and all the crimes he's involved with before my child and I ever became two of his victims. So why were they treating me the way they were treating me all those years, threatening me every time I would call for help? My FBI contact also said that he believes he may be an informant. And so basically, aside from being an informant, and also obviously, if he's tied in with corrupt police officers who are involved in this ring as well, in the drug trafficking and sex trafficking of women and children. I mean, aside from that, he also mentioned that he believes he may be an informant as well for the
So this touches
federal.
on what you had mentioned about how they groom these victims to become predators. The trauma, the way that they're raised, and it makes sense actually that somebody who has at a young age been victimized can later turn into one of these predators, either just because of the influence. This is the environment you're raised in. Did you have anything you wanted to say about that dynamic?
Oh yeah, I was victimized myself, not only by men but also by women. For example, when I was about 14 years old, and I was on the streets, I was running, and so I was on the street. I was homeless. I had no place to go, no place to stay, and there was an older woman who was watching me from a distance. And long story short, she threatened to hurt me. She to physically hurt me very badly. I had to go with her, and I went with her, and she handed me off to a group of bikers, and from there, I was being trafficked and passed around, brought to men, left there, raped, beaten. So I was also victimized by women like that. There were a number of them. There were a lot of them,
So
as
this
well.
isn't just the way that it's sort of pictured, which is just men doing this to women. There's women involved as well.
Yes. And that's been a difficult thing for me. I did not do that. I was victimized. I was victimized in all those ways. I did not become that. So I have a difficult time with that.
Right.
I had an advocate of from years ago. Him and his wife were advocates for victims of human trafficking, and he said to me one day that, oh, well, some of them were victims too. Yes, that may be true, but I was a victim, and I didn't turn around and start trafficking other women or beating other women. abusing other women on behalf of the pimps and the traffickers. I didn't do those things. I didn't hurt other people in those ways.
They never got to you. They stole everything from you but your soul and your humanity, Jane. You kept that. You kept that. That's amazing. I mean, I'm grappling with the emotion of this because it's infuriating to any rational, empathetic human being, you know, that this level of evil exists, that they treat human beings like less than, like a good or a service or like a commodity of some kind, and even less than that.
And these people, my FBI contact made sure to help me to understand another key thing. He said, this is a continuing criminal enterprise, he said. Right. Because I used to say it in different words, in different wording, but he said, that's what we actually call it, he said. All of these people who were involved or are involved in my victimizations and trafficking from a very young age, the ones who were still alive, are still active. They are still active. They have not stopped. And so it's a continuing criminal enterprise. It's a continual ongoing thing with these people. And
well, this is why, Jane, this is why it's so important what you're saying, because a person that would say believe that, you know, the courts and all the judges and the politicians and all these charitable organizations and all this stuff, you know, if they believe naively that these are institutions there to protect people like yourself. But the fact that they're in on it is the reason why this is so pervasive. I mean, I just think myself logically, and I'm asking anybody watching this, do you not think that the full weight of government or the FBI or CSIS or the police department doesn't have the resources to go and round up these people, track them down, and shut it down?
They know who they are.
They know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They're on the tape.
Like I said, I have provided so much evidence and documentation. I have over 100 names that I recall of various individuals. And there is so much evidence out there that I researched, I obtained, I put together in packages, and I sent it to all the government, federal government, and police agencies over the years. For over 13 years, I've been doing this. And usually they don't respond to it. They just, you don't get a response. They just cover it up, and you're giving them all this evidence and information. But I believe that I don't send it to them because I think they don't know. I send it to them because I am creating a paper trail. I am creating a record that I have sent you. I have done my part in providing all this detailed evidence and information to you. It's not because I don't think that they don't know. I believe they know all of this, and they know so much more than even I know. And that's another thing to me, that there has been so much government corruption and complicity, and not just by way of say police officers or politicians who are purchasing young girls or women, but complicity in the way of they have knowledge of these crimes, and they are intentionally trying to cover up the evidence, obstructing justice, protecting these individuals, allowing them to continue. So there's complicity in different ways. You can be complicit, eh? And I've experienced that in my case. So many lies. The authorities, for example, my gosh, and even the federal MPs that have been involved in my case over the years, they said it. They don't like to use the word lie, they told me. They said, we like to use the word inconsistencies instead of just calling it a lie. Wow. Well, me, I'm not going to call it an inconsistency. I'm going to call a lie a lie. And so many, they have record of all of this. They know what's been going on and what's been happening. It's actually been going on for over 20 years, because if you consider from the very start, when I first started reaching out for help to find my son, to report my son missing and to report crimes, that's over 20 years. And all the threats initially that I was experiencing as a result of that. So it's been actually over 20 years. And because of all the government corruption and complicity and involvement in this ring, with these individuals in this ring, and in pursuit of their own motives and agendas, trying to cover things up instead of exposing it. I mean, it's been over 20 years and there's been no resolve for me. I was never able to be reunited with my child again. They left him in that ring. Homeland Security put it in writing that my child was at risk years and years ago. And that was sent to the Canadian government agencies, to the RCMP, asking them to respond to that. And they would not respond to it. They even turned around and lied and said they didn't get the email. I sent it 5 times to them. This is Homeland Security making that statement. And then the RCMP turns around and makes an absolutely contrary statement saying, oh, no, there's no risk. He's absolutely fine. That's what they tell the Canadian government.
And you have these emails. Do you have these emails documented? Yes. Yeah, you say, oh, good for you.
Also have another example would be Child Protective Services. For over 10 years, I was requesting my records, copy of my file and my records. And they lied to me for over 10 years and said that they were never involved with me or my family, that there was no record, there was no file of their involvement with me and my family. So in other words, I'm making it all up. I'm imagining things is what they're saying to me. And the police did the same thing. This went on for over 10 years, all in writing. Every attempt and request I made and their denial to me. I even filed a complaint with the commissioner, who went in and claimed that she conducted a thorough investigation and that there is no file. They were never involved with me or my family. A lawyer got involved and wrote one letter on my behalf, and all of a sudden, the file they claimed for over 10 years didn't exist, appeared. So I have part of that file. I don't have the entire file because you have to get a subpoena in order to get the rest of it. But that's another example of cover up, of obstruction of justice. During a criminal investigation, they did this as well.
Wow. This is, it's unbelievable, but it's so believable. And that's what's horrible about it. But here we are, Jane. We're in a time where there is light at the end of the tunnel, because there are so many people now that are aware of these types of things. They might not have all the specifics. They might not know everything, but the public is crying out for answers, especially after the past year we've been through with all the massive exposures. I think this has everybody asking the question, just how deep does this rabbit hole go? Where does it touch? How high up in governments and everywhere else does it go? And we know it goes all the way up to the tip top. We have an encouraging story in Canada of, I'm sure you've heard about Peter Nygaard being arrested for human trafficking. He was a fashion icon mogul. I think he's from Quebec or whatever. And I'm looking at an article even from the CBC, who I take the CBC with a grain of salt, but still they're reporting it. And the headline is Former Hells Angels Associate and Cocaine Dealer Among Peter Nygaard's Character References. So it's interesting how you were saying that there are some of these biker gangs, some of these sort of low level, I guess, henchmen that work on behalf of these elites. Because Peter Nygaard was a multimillionaire fashion designer in Canada, well known icon, and recently it's only been I think a couple months since he was arrested. I got to follow up with the case, but these are high profile people being investigated and taken down. My hope and prayer every day is that this continues and that there are good people working within the government and the police and the military. As much as we know as it's corrupt to the core, there are still good people. Have you experienced, I mean, you said you had an FBI contact. Have you experienced people that genuinely did try on your behalf but just kept getting too many roadblocks, or maybe they were threatened or something like that? What would you say about that?
I know that one of the federal MPs who was advocating on my behalf for my rights as a Canadian citizen, as a victim of crime and human trafficking, as all my rights were being denied, rights that I supposedly had. So they were advocating for me and they were threatened by the RCMP. He called me one night in the middle of the night and he said, I was just threatened by the RCMP. And they threatened him with obstruction of justice because he was trying to advocate for me and my rights as a victim of crime and human trafficking, as a mother with a kidnapped child, for the return of my child.
And he's a federal MP and they're threatening him?
They threatened him with obstruction of justice. I have that in writing because another federal MP who was a lawyer became involved and wrote, obviously addressed the situation of the RCMP threatening the federal MP with obstruction of justice, and also addressing the violations of my rights that were occurring as a Canadian citizen and victim of crime and human trafficking. So, yeah, I have a lot of stuff in documentation and writing over the years. So, yeah, it has happened.
I just had a quick question. I don't want this to go too much longer just because we've given so much here. This is, thank you again for doing this, and I'm going to fight for you, Jane. This is, I'm going to do everything I can, and we got to get this out in a way that's strategic to protect you. Quick question, actually, what things have you done personally to try to protect yourself at this stage?
I've actually come to a place where, aside from the obvious threats, the things that I can say or will say can easily get me killed, and I know that. And I have gone through a lot of, like I said, harassment, threats, assaults, different things over the years, a lot of intimidation. Been through that for a lot of years. Couldn't get any help from the police with any of that. They will not. They've just left me here the same way they left my son. But at the same time, there's another thing too. If I do not do what I'm doing right now with you and with people like you, I will die. This is part of my freedom. This is for my life and for my freedom as well and for others. I can't stay silent about this. And I've come to a place where if I die, I die. Because the death that I have experienced, keeping silent is worse than physical death. And so I'm going forward with this, and I'm going to disclose everything that I have to disclose, all of my experience. I'm not sure how this interview went. I'm really not.
It was fantastic. It really was. I'm
so nervous. And I feel like I don't know if I'm making any sense at all. I think the first time I talked to you a couple days ago, that went really well for me. This time I felt more nervous for some reason. And I think I know why.
That's so normal.
I I want to continue with you. I
Yes.
want to tell my story. That's the most important thing to me, is to tell my story. And hopefully I want to be reunited with my child one day. And those are the two most important things to me. And I know that in the process of that, even if it was just one other person, but I'm hoping for more, that others will be set free in this. It needs to be exposed in order to be dismantled. There has to be this exposure. There must be. And that means naming all the names, naming all the people who are involved in all the different types of positions they're involved in. And I've been doing that mostly in writing with the government agencies for over 13 years. I've been doing that. But now I want to do it on another level, because they didn't do anything with that except cover it up, even lie about it and deny that they have the knowledge of those things that I have provided to them. I mean, for whatever reason they're doing that, I think complicity is part of that, obviously, because some of these people are in those positions, and even currently, right, they're in those government positions who are actively involved still in this criminal enterprise. So, but I think that still it has to happen.
It
It's
will
only
happen.
through.
It will happen. As long as I draw breath, it will happen. As long as the millions of people around the world that are onto this get this, it'll happen. We have to go beyond our government and police agencies at this point. We have to go to the public, the people, the good people of the world. And if anybody out there is listening to this and you know what you can do to help with this case, to bring it to light, which will help shine a light on all the other cases that we know happen every day, every second of every day around the world, and you're afraid to speak, you're afraid in your position to do anything about it, I want you to know that this is the time of all times to find some courage, grow a spine, and do the right thing. Because otherwise, we're living in a world, our children are being raised in a world, our grandchildren are being raised in a world that is an illusion, and that is run by predators. And that is not the world I want to live in. That is not the world I want for my children. And Jane, that's not the world I want for you. And so I want you to know, Jane, just so you know, you were extremely eloquent and amazing in this interview. I know sometimes it doesn't feel like that, but trust me, I've interviewed a lot of people, and you did a fantastic job, and this will be the first of many. And I'm in this fight to the end as well. I have a family. We all have something to protect. But at the same time, I can't in good conscience sit back and do nothing like so many of the cowards that run in our government and in our police, sadly. And I actually do know good police officers that are working to do what they can, but they've told me too, it's corrupt all the way up to the top. There's only so much we can do. But I think as a public, as a people, we have to demand that the truth comes out. And I don't know how many astrologers, I don't know what you think about astrology, but there's something to it. I've had many astrologers on the show to talk about how this time that we are in as a human family is the time of revealing. It's the time of awakening. And we can see the signs. I mean, is it any coincidence that this year, of the one of the hardest years people have had to live through with the lockdowns and the virus and the elections and the... But this year we've been getting massive documentary films going out about this human trafficking issue. We've even had the President of the United States building entire apparatuses and talking about it publicly, which started more conversations. We've had exposures like the Epsteins, the Nygaards, and all these people. We had the Wayfair scandal that everybody's still questioning that went viral on Twitter. Millions of people, Jay, millions of parents were like, I don't know if this is true, but I want to know about this issue. We had groups of activists go to CNN headquarters in the hundreds and stand in CNN headquarters with signs saying, save the children, meaning they were on to this. This is about the trafficking issue. There's so many good people in the fight, and I'm going to send it to every single one of them. And we need to bring these cockroaches to the surface. I'm going on a passionate rant here because I stand for truth, justice, and freedom, and I just keep saying that in my head. This is the time of truth, justice, and freedom to reign on this planet. And it's stories like yours, Jane, with the courage that you have to continue to do this, that can help light even more of a fire and keep this going. So I promise you I'm going to do everything in my power to get this to the right people. And you'd be surprised how effective we can be in the public square as opposed to the official square in reaching the people, because that's who needs to be reached. And that's where this change can happen. So please know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel and that there are good people in this world that are going to fight hard for this issue. I'm one of them. I know you're one of them. And I think this is going to be the first of many discussions we're going to have. I think this was a perfect sort of introduction for anybody watching this video. I know Jane has so much more to talk about in this regard, but we'll leave it there for now, Jane. Did you have any final thoughts or anything you want to share in this interview before we cut this off?
Yeah, you speak very well. You speak very well. I like listening to you talk.
Oh, thanks.
I like what you say. I like what you say. It touches me very much, and I believe you're telling the truth, the things that you're saying. And that's something that I unfortunately haven't had. Most of my experiences were not positive with people, but with you, my experiences have been very positive so far. And so I'm really grateful for that. And there is so much more that I do have to say. And I do want this to be one of many more. I just started stepping out and reaching out in this type of a way not long ago. So it's a new beginning for me to be doing this. I have so much to share and I have so much to say that I want to say and that needs to be said. And so I'm looking forward to us communicating again.
Well, thank you for trusting me with this. And I want you to know from the bottom of my heart, I want to see an end to this. I want to see an exposure of this. That's the only way that we have to trust humanity, the human beings out there that still are in touch with their humanity, their compassion, their empathy, and their spirit of God. This has to reach them. And this is the whole motivation behind the show and the work that I do, is to bring the truth to the light. And even if I don't always know if I have the truth or not, or the full truth, it's about the pursuit of truth. That's why I call this Truth Warrior. We have to be warriors in this time. We cannot cower in front of these criminal, psychopathic, evil people. We must expose them and set things right. And it starts with courage, and you've demonstrated that. And I'm grateful to you. And my heart is with you, Jane. And you have my contacts anytime. And I'm going to stop this recording here for now, but this will not be the last of our discussions that we're going to do. We'll take this step by step. I want to do this in a way that will help protect everybody involved to the best that we can, and that will also be effective. It has to be effective. We have to make this viral, and it's got to reach the right people. And I know the right people are out there. So thank you so much. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm going to be sending you some documentation following this. Okay. Like what you had asked me at the start of this. So we'll be sending it by email, if that's okay.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. I look forward to that, Jane. Thanks again. And thanks to Jules for standing by you and being the one communicating with me. You guys can contact me anytime. I'm going to end this here. Thanks to anybody who watched this video. And let's do something. Let's stop talking about this and let's do something about it. So all the best to you. Many blessings. May the hosts of heaven protect you in this time and protect all of us involved so that we can bring the truth to the light. So thank you, Jane, and thanks to anybody who has heard this message and watched this video.